Welcome to Modcast, a Civilization podcast focused on Civ modding.
Kenneth Furland.
Botus Snedis.
Tony Keel.
BT Oz.
We don't have any guests today, but we do have our Wouter. And how much do we love our Wouter? I love him about 80,000 ways. You're the best Wouter in the world.
Okay.
What sort of ways are you thinking of, Tony?
I don't think I want to know.
Yeah, it's a little too personal.
Some of them aren't appropriate for a podcast. I don't think iTunes will be happy. So we'll have to leave those to the imagination. My favorite way to love Wouter is to have him on our show and for someone to tell me to shut the hell up.
Shut the hell up.
So, too much fun.
By the way, Tony, I have to say, I like your new forum avatar.
Oh, you do?
It's like really awesome. I have a similar picture on my Facebook with me wearing like sunglasses indoors. It's like,
do you have your cane with you?
Nothing says geek like wearing sunglasses indoors. You know?
Hey, sometimes that screen gets bright.
So, Ken, do you wear a cane? Do you have a cane with you when you wear your sunglasses indoors?
Cane?
You have a pimp hat and you have the pimp glasses. You have the pimp cane.
Oh no, that's what you mean. No, the pimp hat, not optional.
So you're basically just a code pimp. I'll slay you some code. You go in there, delete a file. Bitches, where's my money? Delete. Or you sit there and compile all night long.
No, my computer is faster than that.
Well, no, but yeah, but you could probably keep it going if you took it easy. Just keep compiling over and over again. Just for fun.
Write one line of code, compile.
Well,
another line, compile. Compile.
Yeah. Anyways, welcome to Modcast episode, what are we at? Where are we at? 32?
Yep.
Oh, sounds about right.
All right, Modcast 32. Today we are joined with Kenneth Impaler WRG Furland.
Greetings.
John BT Oz Archer.
G'day, everyone.
And our most favorite Wouter in the known universe, Wouter Lacuta Snyders.
Do you know any other Wouters?
Well, no.
Thought so.
But if there were more, you would still be my favorite. And me, Tony Garrett Zarka Keel, hello. Well, let's see. What kind of stuff? We have no extra guest. We have lots of topics that are interesting. Have you guys seen these topics?
Yeah, they're so-so.
They're so-so? What are you talking about, man? What are you talking about? We got the mobster car. You know that's going to be sick.
Yeah, I was just hoping we could have reviewed somebody's mod, but I guess we want to have him on as a guest at the time we do that.
Yeah, we don't have any guests. We just have maps and artwork and some discussion the topics.
Nobody loves us.
We'll get something in there. Guests, we
do have the awesomest mod ever.
Which one is that?
That's the scenario script, man.
Ooh, yes. I haven't tried that. I kept looking at it last night when I was reviewing.
I have played nothing but that mod for the last 3 weeks or so.
Oh, really? So it's that good?
Ooh, then you're as good as a guest. Yeah. As far as that goes, you can tell us every little thing about
it. Well, no, I was looking at it last night because I was thinking about playing some Civ.
Well, yeah, you should definitely have given that mod a try. It's awesome. But I guess we'll get to that.
Yeah, I ended up doing some other stuff instead, but I wanted to play this. Yeah. What can you do? Well, I don't know. I was pretty drunk last night, so...
Are you ever not?
Aren't you...
Playing Civ kind of guy.
You're drunk every day, aren't you, Tony?
A little bit.
It helps pass the time.
It does really...
And it keeps your nagging wife away.
No, that sometimes makes her nag more, actually, so... Just kidding. I have a little bit of news. Dunemon? Question mark, question mark. Question mark, question mark.
Okay, and today in the Code Corner, we look at the Examine City on Conquest mod by Smeagleheart.
Today, in the Artist Sketchpad, we looked at the Mobster Car by Flintlock and others, and the Special Forces Unit by Mech-Eric and me.
In the cartography room, we talk about the awesomest mod ever, the scenario map script by V Vadus, as well as the Trade Empire's Indian Ocean Blue, a scenario by Curry Aztec.
Here's what's been making news in the Civ community.
All right, I have a little bit of news that every once in a while, there's a mod thread that I posted in years back that gets Necromancy to wake. It's the Dune mod.
That's referred to as Thread Romancy.
A thread romantic spell brought back people posting stuff in the Dune mod. Now, has anyone heard of Frank Herbert's Dune?
I've watched the movie.
Oh, yeah, I've read the entire series.
The movie's pretty good.
Except for Chapter House of Dune, I never finished that one.
Water, have you read that book?
The 1984 edition, right?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
That's the only good movie.
Frank Herbert's Dune, D-U-N-E. Have you heard of that, Water?
Oh, of course I have. Who hasn't?
Well, okay, I don't know.
You'll have to go down the local video library. Well, I'll tell you, you'll be able to watch the movie.
I've never seen the movie, I have to say.
Have you read the books?
Nope, neither. I have played the games, so...
Oh, okay, there you go, Dune 2000.
Yep.
Yeah, the earliest Westwood games before...
Yeah.
It was essentially the earliest version of Command & Conquer.
Yes.
Yeah.
What eventually became Command & Conquer.
Well, anyways, they want to make a mod for Civ. Turn-based, you know, expansion game. And as you can see, this thread's fairly long. And there's a lot of great ideas. I even have some artwork in the mod, in this thread. But the biggest thing we need is to have a worm, a sandworm.
Mm. Yes.
That
you can't have a Dune mod without giant sandworm, at least as an animation or an effect that could, you know, like, destroy a unit.
Yes, we need at least a sandworm effect, but I would prefer to have, you know, a sandworm that can be ridden by Fremen.
As a rideable unit, so that you can control it, move it around, that kind of thing, capture it.
Well, you know, you don't have to make it necessarily a rideable unit. You could just make it a unit you build, which would be you have to train the sand rider, and then he has to go get his worm, and then, bam. You could even have a...
Yeah, but I imagine in the whole, you know, remember, every Fremen can ride a sandworm as soon as he can walk or something like that. But it's...
So you're talking about having worms just wandering the map and you hump.
Yeah, yeah. It's definitely not something where it's like, oh, I got to train a guy to ride the sandworm, and then the sandworm is the easy part. It's like, no, it's much the other way around. Getting the sandworm is the hard part.
Oh, you know what would be sick with it? You know what would be sick with it if you could get an effect to put on a terrain tile of worm sign? It's just a little ripple in the otherwise plain desert tile. It's really hard to see, but you can see little worms moving across the map, not erupting out of the sand. And you could use a Fremen and have a unit button on them that allows them to put a thumper in. And all the worms instantly go towards any thumper they're near. You can code that, too.
Maybe the thumper would be a terrain improvement.
Yeah, so also come up and swallow up and take a worker.
No, the thumpers are, like, disposable, or they just stab them into the ground out of their packet, thump, and they pull it up.
Yeah, true.
So that's just a unit ability.
Okay, but, I mean, graphically, you might represent it by having a instantly created terrain improvement that would just show the thing.
Yeah, and it could be a little key graphic effect on it. But also, I want that terrain effect to be that terrain feature for worm sign, but I want it to be nearly identical with normal terrain. So if people are, like, focusing on their rocky areas where no worms are, and they don't pay attention to the worm sign, then the sand units will get eaten up. I love that idea.
Yeah, there was a little bit of the annoyance factor of, oh my goodness, because I wasn't paying attention, my unit was eaten, you know? It's like, fun. But I wonder whether people would very much try to copy the Westwood dynamic of, okay, you can play as, say, the Harkonnens or the Atreides, and you can build water traps, and, like, water is your money, and then you have your spice you collect for money.
Well, they have all ideas like that, too. And there's going to be a lot more factions than that, more than likely.
There really shouldn't be. It's very much an Atreides Harkonnen battle.
But you see, Dune has always... Dune can be handed off. You know what I'm saying? There can be other households in a fictional Dune setting.
Yeah, it's always implied that there are a lot of houses in the Landsraad.
As opposed to the real Dune?
Yes, as opposed to the real fictional Dune setting. We're talking about a fictional Dune setting.
Well, you know, there's things like Ix, and which at first everyone thought was actually just the number 9, but I think that might actually be Planet Unix in the future.
It's Planet Ix. It used to be longer, but the ancient cyborgs, you know, did some to it. Like, I don't know, it's hard.
Well, no, it says in the book that the Planet Ix is just... It was literally the 9th planet of a solar system, and it just got a Roman numeral as its name. And then it just got shortened, and people forgot what Roman numerals were, so they just called it the Planet Ix.
Yes, and they build the navigator's ships there.
Really? Oh, no, that one.
Yeah, they build the giant
steel
ships with...
Liner ships.
The liners, yeah, that's right. They build them there. And they even have, like, robots there, even though they're not supposed to in Dune series. That's one thing. You can't have androids or robots or artificial intelligence in House Harkonnen and House Atreides.
Yeah, I don't think it's actually a ban against robots. I think it's more of a ban against, quote, thinking machines or computers.
Yeah, computer
programs. So even stationary computers are illegal.
Yeah.
And it's not the robotification itself that's, you know... illegal in the Dune universe. Like, something like a mechanical Waldo, where it's a direct human input to a machine, would be permissible.
Yeah, well, I guess you're right there.
Which...
Well, computers, but not having computers is a pretty serious problem.
Yeah.
And Ix does have computers, but they just don't...
Yeah.
They just... It's their big secret, you know?
Which always makes me wonder, is like, why don't they get, like, the giant walking mech things, like, in the third... movie of the Matrix series, you know, where the guys are like...
Those would be pretty useful.
Things, you know? Which seem to... There don't seem to be central computers to those things. They seem to be just control-based. Simply mechanical input-based. That's why they're EMP-resistant.
I just think Doom is kind of an archaic yet futuristic future. Like, you've got the king, the duke, you know, Baron Atreides. Is it Baron? It's Duke Atreides, right? The father.
Duke Vladimir Harkonnen and Baron Leto Atreides.
And they have troops that carry swords on their belts and rifles, like, talking about colonial wartime. So I think it's a degeneration.
Actually, everything is knife fighting because of the shields.
Yeah, yeah. The shields they wear all the time.
Yeah.
If you look at the prequels of Dune and you compare them.
Oh, the prequels sucked. I read one of those and it's like
I enjoyed the I made it through them.
That guy, his son, like doesn't hold a candle to
I don't
Frank
think
Herbert,
so either.
The Brian Herbert guy. No.
No, it's actually his son and
the writing was sucked.
Kevin Anderson.
I think the guy was adopted or something like that. The guy sucked.
Well, okay. I do agree they weren't the best written, but they at least were entertaining enough to make up some... He apparently went through Frank Herbert's notes and tried to put some shit together.
Yeah, the old, you know, we cobbled together some notes idea, you know? It's like, you know how much gets sold under the, these are the author's last notes of the book he was meant to write, da-da-da, you know? And yeah. We've cobbled it together with, you know, it's like, those are always sucky. I never buy those books.
Well, okay. I did buy these, but I loaned them to someone and I don't know where they are, so.
Okay, well, good for you. You're rid of them, you know.
So, yes.
Okay,
we've got
back
great...
to modding. Enough harping about Doom. Code Corner, where we discuss SDK and Python mods or any other non-graphical mods in the Civilization 4 modding community.
We have a little bit of code today, and I'll just say this real quick. This code was suggested by Modcast good friend Fungus420, and it's Examine City on Conquest by Smeaglehorn. Ken, take it away.
Well, here we have, basically, he's provided one file for the SDK, which has been modified in such a way that when you compile the SDK with this, you will have to recompile and use your own special DLL for it, that when you get a city capture event, instead of the normal pop-up in which you would be given the choice of install new governor or no burn baby burn, you get a third option, let's examine the city first, which will bring up the city view screen where you'll get to see the population, buildings, all the good stuff about the city, and then go back and decide.
Yeah, what freaking wonders you're about to burn?
Yeah, well, I think, yeah, there are. What, does the city have? There are some special situations in Civilization IV where you can't burn the city.
No,
aren't there?
No,
maybe you can burn every city. Okay, well, I
thought. Everything's burnable.
No, actually, if you founded the city yourself, I think you can't burn it to the ground.
Oh,
see,
well.
See, you know.
Okay,
like if you're recapturing your own city, but that's another issue.
Yeah, exactly.
Well,
yeah.
I think that. I don't know, maybe.
Well, if you have to have actually founded it, I think. If you just captured it for someone else and then kept it for 1,000 years, you can still raise it.
Ah.
If someone else conquers. I think. Don't quote me on that, but I believe that's
so it's a permanent tag rather than simply a highest culture percentage or something like that. But whatever. Now, this gives you a really nice, useful option. Everyone who's, you know, looked at it says, oh, my God, I can't believe this hasn't been in this game the whole time. It's so obvious. And apparently Civ 3 had an option like this as well. So, definitely something welcome, and this is an obvious, you know, must-have utility function I think every mod should have.
Yeah.
Every mod that has capturing cities in it.
Hell, you should include it in a damn patch.
Exactly, but it's too late for that, but
yeah.
It should have been included a long time ago, if you ask me.
Yeah, it's just kind of a ridiculous little thing that,
but it,
well, what's in that city? Kind of looks like a pyramid, I can't tell, I'm all zoomed out. Oh, great. I burned the pyramids.
But if it's so obvious, why didn't anyone program it up until now? Yeah, Mr. Smarty Pants.
I'm sure I've requested it at least once or twice, but yeah, I guess some things fall by the wayside.
Yeah.
No one listens to Wilder. He's too serious. Exactly. Like, oh, Wilder said something serious. Oh, whatever.
Must be too verbose.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
Well, why don't you go over to Uden, which appears to be where he's from, / I believe that Netherlands?
Uden.
Yeah, go over and congratulate this fellow, or complain for him not doing it earlier, whichever is your choice.
Nah, I don't like Brabanders.
Yeah, you should bring beer and a webcam and see what happens.
Oh, I don't have to worry about the beer. They have plenty of beer in Brabant.
Yeah, how far is Uden from you?
Maybe 100 miles, something like that.
Oh, really? I didn't think anything was that far away from you in the Netherlands.
How far away are you from Phoenix, Ken?
Well, only like 3 hours. But this is Arizona in America, where we have like huge, vast stretches.
Yeah, you just have to haul ass through nothingness for like 2 hours.
Yeah.
Have you been to America, Wilder?
Nope.
Oh, yeah, you would trip out. Europeans would all trip out coming here. It's guaranteed. Unless you go to the East Coast.
I prefer places with history, so pretty much all of North America is out of the question.
Oh, I see how it is. Well, one of these days you have to come out here on holiday.
Yeah, maybe someday.
It's like I want to go to the Netherlands, man.
We'll see your history and raise you nuclear weapons.
Oh, come on, listen to this. I want to go to the Netherlands.
Yeah, well, you're a bit of an idiot.
I guilty as charged. Artist Sketchpad, where we discuss graphics and artwork from the Civ modding community. Now, we have some Artist Sketchpad items that are quite tantalizing, if I might so say. We have the Mobster Car by several people. Looks like Flintlock 1415 redid it, but there's something by Ozio and Mechorik or someone like that. So this is a multiple person's artwork cobbled together, but look, it's a old timey car, and there's a mobster with a pinstripe suit popping out of the little moon roof with what?
With a Tommy gun.
With a Tommy gun. How much?
That looks like you, Ken.
Yeah, it does look like Ken.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, I have a pinstripe suit that looks just like that.
Oh, that'd be sick when Ken's all mobster.
Yeah. And I'm a quarter Italian, so there you go.
There you go. You're already in. It looks like he's got, well, there's a green car with a Marine coming out of it in the next picture, fighting the Tommy gun, which is a little weird.
That sort of illustrates, I guess, the weak point of this artwork. It looks kind of nice, but it's a completely different art style than Civ 4, I guess, and just, yeah, it clashes quite a bit.
Well, the thing is, the car and its shape seem a little odd to me. Is this, you know how it seems like the you know, I have the windshield, the windows, and the whole top of the car seems really shrunken. It looks like the windows are literally like, I don't know, 5 inches tall compared to the Mobster.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
I mean, look at the proportion between it. So it doesn't look right. It looks like the Mobster, it looks like it's a clown car, you know?
He's driving it with his feet?
Yeah, I mean, like, are there, like, were there Mobsters in there driving the thing? They'd have to be midgets.
No, he's driving it with his feet. He's got one guy to push the gas pedal.
Yeah, so.
Like, hey, down there, push the gas pedal. Oh, no, 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 push the brake. Ah!
That would be great. Drive it with your feet.
Yeah. So, the car just seems to be oddly proportioned. I wonder what, does anyone know what model of car this is supposed to be? It's some kind of...
I think it's an imaginary car.
I don't know. And also, aren't Mobsters supposed to, like, drive around in Model Ts, you know? It's more the time period for them.
No, I think this is acceptable for a Mobster. This looks all right.
Okay. It's not the Roaring Twenties, though, obviously.
It's like modernism, like 30s. 30s was great for Mobsters.
Doesn't look like Al Capone's car.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, anyways, this mod, every time I see this, I think of Fallout 2 for some reason. I don't know why. But I do love Mobsters. And their car with a window that's too small to see out of. But...
Yeah, now, are there any good mob mods that this could go into? I mean...
Well, I'm sure someone could fit it in somewhere.
Could you use it in your Second Revolution mod for, like...
I could use it for, like, Detroit. You could have a unique unit from Detroit. You'd have to code one city, have a unique unit for that city. Which you could be like...
Wait a minute, why should it be Detroit? Shouldn't it be, like, Chicago?
Chicago. Yeah, just put mobsters in there.
Detroit is more of, like, riot unit.
And then there's Michigan. You could put there, like, survivalists. It'll be great.
I thought that would be Idaho.
You know what? I can't even get into it. There's plenty of survivalists everywhere. Like the Michigan Militia, I think it is, or something like that. I don't know. Anyways, Mob Car. Mob Car by Flintlock and others. So, we also have, over here, much like the last artwork we looked at, it's been done by a few different people. This one's done by me and Mechirik, which I think also worked on the last one a bit, too. And this was a request by Fungus420 for a model, and it is a version of my modern paratrooper, which apparently I have been the only one to transfer the paratrooper animation onto another model. Apparently. So these are some derivative works based on the fact that I got rid of that paratrooper-looking dude and put on, like, a Marine instead.
Hmm.
Or...
So this is to create... Does actually look more like the Special Forces.
Special Forces, yeah.
Because they've got the little goggly eyes, the Splinter Cell 6, you know, looking goggly things.
Yeah, it looks an awful lot like the one I did. Let's see how... Let's see. Where's my version of it?
Okay, so you've just done art here, but... Would someone essentially need to turn this into a real unit by adding an XML entry which gives the unit...
Oh, of course. I don't do any of that crap.
The paratrooper ability can be given by modifying the XML, and then I guess you'd... what else would you do to make a cool unit out of this?
I mean, this should work. If you have the XML set up for paratroop, this should work.
Hmm. I wonder if it was both like a spy and a military unit, if you could really do something that felt... really like Special Forces. So you could paratroop them, they were invisible, and they could blow it up, and they could also attack units, and they were just like really freaking awesome, like Navy SEALs or something. Has anyone made a unit like that?
Well, here's the unit it says he bases it off of.
Oh, okay. That's your paratrooper series from Second Revolution, and they've got like berets there, so you're kind of doing...
No, I think this is just done for the community. I don't know if I even use it for Second Rev. But obviously, I have Second Rev running because that American flag is... Well, maybe, I don't know. Yeah, I think so. Yeah, but it's a good unit. I like it. And it's all Second Rev loops there. But, you know, I just want to bring this up because Mechirik took my work. I don't know if that's how I say his name, but... And he redid it. It looks like he switched the model over from Marine. So, he did quite good. And... As it is, we have mod mods, and then there's artwork based on previous artworks. So a lot of the open source modding community builds its work upon the efforts of others, you know?
Naturally.
So it's a very good cooperative experience to do art in the modding community in First Civ.
In the cartography room, we talk about maps and simple scenarios.
All right, Wouter, your favorite topic has always been the cartography room. Why is that?
I guess I just like...
Because he's a cartomaniac.
Well, that's one thing. I do have like a whole stack of atlases here, so I guess that's part of it.
Oh.
But I just also, I like scenarios, the best of all kinds of mods. Unfortunately, we don't seem to have too many of those in Civ 4.
Oh, yeah.
A lot more in Civ 2.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's... It was more popular in previous versions of Civ, but maybe that's because you could do less of the really deep asset modding that we can do here now.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I guess that's part of it. Although there's a lot of total conversion mods for Civ 2 as well.
Yeah, that's true. Mm. Well, you know, scenario with a good map script, you know, just custom game scenario. You don't even have to have one that a modder had to work on. You can create your own with some of these map scripts.
This map script is sort of the first one by... Vadus, it's not even really a proper map script really so much as it's almost a code corner element. What it basically does is it sort of recreates what we had in Civ 1 and Civ 2, the Earth map in those games, where you could basically select how many Civs you wanted, and you can select a map that you wanted, and you could play with any number of Civs that you wanted on a historic map. And it would place them on actually the accurate starting locations, which you can't actually do in Civ 4.
Ah.
You can either play with historic Civs, but you're always stuck with the exact same selection, always the exact same 18 Civs. Or you can play with random Civs, and you can play with 3 or with 8 or whatever one in you want, but the starting locations are random, so you might play as Russia and end up in South America.
Yeah.
So this recreates...
Does this one put somewhere they're from?
Hmm. Interesting.
Now, you said this had no limit to how many players you get out of the script?
You can play this this particular map script. You do have to do a little bit of work if you want to make this to work. You can't. It comes by default with one map script of an Earth map, which is quite all right. You can make it work, I'm pretty sure. I have to say I haven't looked too closely at it, but you can make it work with any map that you want, but you do have to edit it a little bit. It needs a special settings file to store all the starting locations. But then it's really, really cool. I've been playing nothing but this script for the last 3 weeks, just playing the Earth map with differences.
That sounds, when you told me about that, I kind of still felt like, you know, that sounded like it would be a lot of fun to do that, you know? Just go on, you know, familiar terrain.
Yep.
Battle old battles, you know, across the country. Of course, you know, I don't think I'd use the United States because they don't appear till later.
Yeah, that's sort of the other thing you can wonder. That's always a problem with Civ.
Yeah. The other thing is that this map seems awful small. It seems...
It is a smallish map. That's, I think, a lot of... I mean, I prefer smaller maps personally.
Uh-huh.
I mean, if you play with 18 or 34 Civs, yeah, you can play with one of the giant maps out there. But if you want to play on Earth with a smaller map and less Civs, yeah, I mean, the existing scenarios don't really supply for that sort of experience. Because you're always stuck with the exact same selection of Civs, and it gets very old very fast.
Yeah.
And now it's fun. One game you might have 7 or 8 Civs in Europe, and everyone is fighting for the few tiles that are available. And the next game there might be only 2 Civs in Europe, and everyone else is spread out over the rest of the map.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, but I mean, like, it looks like literally if Spain, France, and Germany are all present, France's first city will not even be able to fully expand and work the 22 tiles because
it'll be brutal.
Germany and Spain will just squish it. You'll like literally have one city.
Well, for one thing, France is cultural, so that's not going to be an issue. But it is close. Every Civ, if Europe is filled up, yeah, especially because you also have Civs like the Celts and the Holy Romans, yeah, that's going to be really, really crowded.
Well, you know what? I'd like to see the same script, but on larger maps of regions, like a Europe map with this script setting.
Yeah.
You know, and you could limit the civs only to Europe civs, you know, or civs in the Near East and stuff.
Yeah, that's definitely something you could do. I'm sorry, but the thing with larger maps is that you can play with all civs if you want to. There's not really any restriction. You can't play on a map this small with 18 civs because there's just no room for that.
Yeah.
The fact that you can have random civs and decide for yourself how many civs you want, that's what really makes this map work.
Yeah, I mean, it's always going to be an issue with these things that civ, by its nature and, you know, by Western civilization historical bias, half the civs are going to be European.
Yeah.
And that is, you know, it's going to be cramped.
That is the downside. If you randomly generate maps, about 80% of them will have a very large number of European civs in it.
Yeah.
And Europe does tend to get crowded. Although I have to say, there's really only been one game where it was really insane. I was able to use my starting warrior to kill two other civs before they could basically get started.
Oh my goodness.
But usually it's not too bad. You will have like three civs in continental Europe, and there's space for, I think, easily 8 or 10 cities there. So it works out.
Yeah.
But it is pretty crowded. I mean, if you're in North America, you may have the whole continent for yourself.
Yeah, that can introduce some bias. So what I think would be interesting is if someone could hack into this system and basically set two separate parameters for X number of European players and then all the remainder from the rest of the world. So, like, limit Europe to only having three of the 12 civilizations that are going to start, that could potentially start there.
Yeah.
And that'll push the map out and really even things out territorially.
Yeah.
Balanced game.
I think that would be good.
That's going to make things really complicated. And you really have to design your script specifically to one particular map. And the great thing about this mod is it works for any map. You just have to make a settings file.
Whoa. Oh, how would you add this mod to, like, let's say just a Europe map?
It has basically three files. One actual script file that contains, I think, all the code that does all the real work. You need a world builder save. That's just the map itself. I think you may have to do a minor adjustment to get rid of the starting settlers or something like that, but basically the same thing as any map.
So this is something a modder could do and make a new map.
Hmm.
Yeah, and the third file is a properties file that contains the historic set starting locations of every civ. That's the only part that you really have to make yourself.
X, Y coordinate?
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Well, that's where you could go in and actually do what I was just suggesting. All you have to do is, like, add a weight factor to every one of those starting locations and say, like...
Yeah, I'm not sure if you can do that. That might actually get complex because the actual civ selection, I'm pretty sure, is just done by the game engine.
Oh.
And all this does is determine the starting locations, I think. I haven't actually...
So it moves it around after the fact. Okay, then you'd have to get into, like, the XML and actually...
Not even the XML. You'd have to get in the DLL, yeah, and that's where it gets complicated.
Well, I'm saying XML to store the data for, like, give each civilization, like, a weight factor of, like, how probable it is to occur.
Yeah.
And then have the DLL do some more complex dice rolling with that.
But do this all in a Python script format, like, full of resources.
Yeah, but Python doesn't control which civs are selected. So I think the easiest solution is actually to just adjust the XML settings with the civilization settings and just delete a few European civs and maybe add a few ones from other parts of the world, like a Tibetan civ, because that area of the map tends to be empty a lot. That would just be the easiest way to get out of this. Delete the Dutch, delete the Portuguese.
Well, Tibet tends to be empty because it's a giant mass of mountains and you can't settle on mountains in Civilization 4. So there really wouldn't be much point of a Tibetan civilization in a map of the world.
No, but yeah, you get the general idea. You can add Australians and Brazilians and maybe fill in some of the areas and get rid of the Dutch and maybe some other excessive European civs.
I can just see my capital city. I'm on a square of desert surrounded by 20 mountains. You know, it's like, ooh, I'm Tibet.
Yeah, that'd be cool. You're like, hey. Tibet and I get all of Asia up to China. Tibet take over Siberia.
Well, that's a really slick script. I mean, I definitely hope people try it out.
Yeah, try it out.
Yeah, this is really something I feel like everyone should have this installed. This really, I've been asking Phyrexis to do this. I think I asked him for Civ 3, I asked him a couple of times for Civ 4. I asked the Call to Power guys to do it, they didn't do it either. So I've been wanting this for a really long time. This is a really awesome, awesome mod.
It looks like he doesn't even have it in the file database. He has it attached to the post.
Yeah, there are two things. The one thing is this thing has randomized resources, so the resources are different for every game, and that doesn't always make sense.
Oh.
in some games you might have a lot of elephants and horses in South America.
Well?
I think someone in the thread pointed out that you can set this in the WBS file. I haven't tested that. I'll have to play around with that. And, yeah, the other thing is... what was the other thing? Oh, well, I lost my point.
Oh, some people should combine this with Civ Gold, ooh, with its expanded civilizations. That could also help really mix things up a bit. You'd have to add them to the world builder file that you described, where it specifies the locations for them.
Yeah.
But it could be pretty slick. I mean, you could fill in Australia and finally have like an Aboriginal Civ that starts down there, or more South American and more African.
Civ Gold guys could do this and just pick a world map that's a little bit bigger, because you're going to need more room for a Civ Gold size game, but...
Yep. Yeah, you could...
You could do that.
No, no, not necessarily to change that. I'm just talking increase the diversity. Not having more Civs, just having different ones.
Okay, I see. So that would be more of a chance for there to be more in every area.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, with Civ Gold, you could theoretically add just 200 starting locations to a map. Yeah, that would be...
Oh, no, not all of them. Not all of them.
Oh, why not?
Just...
No, add all of them, and then just only pick the few you get.
Yeah, you only start with 18 saves, and, you know, one game, they might all happen to be from Africa, and it's going to be crazy. But most of the time, it will probably even out. I mean, because the Civ Gold has things pretty evenly covered for all five continents.
Yeah.
That's true, that's true. Well, there you go. There's so much work right there you can do. Scenario map script. Who is this by?
By Varus. It's a German guy. I guess that's the other point I wanted to make. I would really like to see some map packs for this. Just different maps, different types of civs, etc. Just more variation. The world map is awesome. I've been playing nothing but it for 3 weeks.
Yeah.
It would be cool to have more maps for this.
Yeah, one other idea just occurs to me. What if there was a way to actually specify in a civilization's XML file a rough latitude and longitude for its starting location? And then it would allow people, as long as they make relatively accurate maps, any kind of world map, it could place the civilization by a percentage of the map's width and height, and then, you know, roughly put the civilization down. And then we could have something like this for all types of world maps, so long as they're geographically accurate world maps.
Exactly.
That'd be an interesting idea.
Yeah, I guess that could work. You'd have to make it optional, of course, because not everyone will want that, certainly not in every game.
Oh, certainly, certainly. It's a special optional feature for maps that you say, use historical geographic locations. And it's like, you just say, you have to click that option on at the same time you're playing on a, quote, world-like map.
Yeah.
And also, it kind of, that's a good lead-in to our next cartography room item, which was also suggested by Wouter, called Trade Empires Indian Ocean Blue by Curry Aztec. Now, this mod is centered in Southeast Asia.
Tony, I've done a bit of a review on this mod.
Oh, well, by all means, go right ahead.
Okay, this is the India Trade mod by Curry Aztec. And the first thing I noticed when I booted it up, it's a lovely, nice picture upon loading the mod, which I really liked. I thought the leaderheads were nicely done in 3D, although a static 2D picture...
Yeah, they were very nice.
Yes, although a static 2D picture would also work well for those with netbooks.
Yes.
I also found that the mod starts at 1000 AD, and I would like to see maybe starting a little bit earlier.
What?
But I also like the ballista elephants. They look fantastic. So does the battle elephants.
Aren't those just the same ones from regular game, or am I wrong about that?
No. These are being modified.
Well, I think there is a ballista elephant in BTS.
That's the Kumaro Empire, isn't it?
Yeah, but they might have redone it a little bit, too.
Yeah, that's what I said. And also the longbowmen look very good as well.
Oh, yeah, I see it here now. There's a screenshot of it. There's a mahout. I guess that's a Thai unique unit.
Ah, yes. The Mahout. That's kind of cool.
Mahout or Mahout or whatever it's called.
Does that guy in the back have like a huge sword to cut down at people?
Yeah, I guess you'd call it almost a lance.
He's got a melon popper over there. Pop some melons.
Yeah, I hadn't played Thai. I haven't actually seen that one yet.
It's kind of like that weapon you use in your SCA just before you chop the pole off. You know.
Oh, indeed.
A falchion?
A falchion or a glaive.
Mm.
A glaive is like a sword on a stick.
But, John, why would you have it start earlier than 1080?
I don't know. I just thought it might... I prefer sometimes starting a little bit earlier.
Mm.
Maybe around 800 AD.
Hmm. Well, do you start with one city, or does it actually give you a small empire?
No, no, no. A lot more empires are already there, established.
Huh. So you just pick the one you want to play, basically.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
I like this start time, because it's a pretty interesting period in history, sort of. The whole region that's covered by this scenario, which basically ranges from East Africa to, I guess, yeah, the Philippines are just on there.
Just on the outskirts, yeah.
Yeah. Hmm. And yeah, that region was sort of fairly divided in that era. You know, a bunch of small empires, a few bigger ones, a few smaller ones. And so it creates a nice bit of diversity. And it was also right around the time that the European colonists started to arrive.
Hmm. Does he have a...
You can actually play as the Dutch and the Portuguese and stuff like that.
You can? So how do they just show up with boats outside the...
Yeah, you basically get a few ships with units in them.
Ooh.
Oh, it looks like... I'm looking at the little map here. Is that the Dutch, you know, on a few little islands out in the Indian Ocean? They have those as kind of bases from which to operate?
I'm not sure what screen... No, I think you're looking at just one of the Indonesian ships.
Oh.
The Dutch really start out with just a few boats. I think you actually see some ships in the... Oh, the orange dot in the bottom corner?
Yeah.
Yeah, those are just ships. Those are ships. Those are not islands.
Ah, okay. So you just kind of get a pile of navy at the edge of the map, and then you can sail in.
Yep.
And kind of choose, okay, whose city, where do I want to build my empire? And by build my empire, I mean enslave someone else, you know?
Exactly.
I'm pretty easy to do with just, a boat with some settlers and more, some, you know, combat units in it.
I wouldn't even give them settlers. I just, you know, find someone else's cities to take over.
No, you don't get settlers, actually, I don't think. Just some military units and a lot of religious missionaries.
Mm. Lots of missionaries. Gotta have the missionaries.
Interesting. So this is a mod scenario that has lots of wonderful little things in it, so...
Yeah, it's mostly a scenario. It has a few unique units and a little bit of custom art, which is really nice. But it's mostly just the normal units and normal stuff. Just every civ has its own... its own leader and unique unit, unique building, etc.
Yeah.
And yeah, it creates a very varied experience. Playing as the Dutch is, of course, completely different as playing as, the Swahili. And that's completely different from playing as India, which is completely different from playing as the Khmer.
Yeah, which is lots of replay value.
Actually, it looks like there's not even just one in India. There's like northern Ganges Plain, and then there's the southern...
Yes.
What do you call it?
Yeah, the
Tamils or something. I don't know.
No, not the Tamils, the Vijaya Vaji. But an Indian civilization, southern Indian. And there's also Tibet, even further to the north.
Oh wow!
But it was at a time when the Indian Empire was pretty divided between a bunch of different smaller empires, which is what makes it so interesting. One of the things, anyway.
Yeah, and it's a part of the world that rarely gets covered by these type of scenarios.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's one of the things that attracted me to it. It's in most of the scenarios that do exist for Civ 4 are all Earth maps, Europe maps, all the same topics all over.
Yep.
Yep. Okay.
Even North America maps aren't even that common.
Well, sometimes you get like the whole New World, like a colonization thing going, but
yeah.
I've never seen a map that was a scenario that was just focused
Southeast Asia.
On the Indian Ocean,
yep.
Covering Africa to Asia. Sometimes you get Asia on its own, but you wouldn't get the inclusion of Arabia and Africa in the whole thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, and although I'm not an expert on the area, the historic accuracy seems to be pretty high. It gets a lot of cool stuff in there, a lot of stuff that I do know. Oh, I've heard of this civ and I've heard of this particular city. All the important stuff seems to be there. I couldn't find any inaccuracies. So the guy really did his homework.
The only thing that I would have liked to seen, and I did notice this, was if you choose his mod as a single-player game, not as a scenario map, you can choose one of the unique empires from his mod. However, There's no settler. There's no settler. No warrior to begin with. Or is it? It actually comes up random. So depends on what you got. Oh. One time next time I restarted the game, I only had a warrior, so I had no settler to start up my civ.
Okay. Yeah, I guess you didn't specify those in the XML file, because there are settlers actually in the build list for the cheat menu. You can build them.
Yeah, I just found that it was just random. So the first time I tried, I got a scout.
Yeah.
Then I restarted the scenario, and next time I got a warrior. So,
Yeah, I guess it just didn't specify in the scenario's XML file what the starting unit should be. If you don't specify it, it's just random. If you just clean up that file, you could probably play it as a normal sort of epic game. And that should be interesting, I guess, with this selection of civs.
Yes.
That's an interesting idea. I hadn't even thought of that.
Calling today. In North America, the number is 301-637-7659. That's 301-637-POLY. In Europe, 44121-288-7659. That's 44121-288-POLY. You can Skype us at the Polycast or email us at polycast@apolitan.net.
The only thing worse than being talked about is not being talked about.
For more information on Modcast, our sibling show Polycast, or about Polycast in general, log on to the series' official website at polycast.apolitan.net.
Okay, I wanted to give a big thank you to a listener of Modcast who kindly sent in all of Civ 2 Wonder Movies.
Ooh.
His name was Civ Rules 07. Thank you very much for that.
Ooh, there you go. You were asking about those Civ files.
And also,
very good.
Also, Tony, when we were reviewing the dungeon mod and talking about dwarves a couple of episodes ago, well, we had a response. And guess what? Two dwarves sent in a couple of photos of themselves naked to Ken with their phone numbers.
That must have ended up in my spam folder because I don't recall seeing that.
Okay. Wow. I thought you were going to talk about something else, because also I have a clip to play for everyone. It is by Kale.
Hey guys, it's Kale. I just listened to your last episode where you interviewed Lutefisk Mafia and talked about his dungeon adventure scenario that he entered into the Fall from Heaven 2 scenario contest, and you wanted me to let you know how the contest turned out and how he did. And Lutefisk won the contest. He did an amazing job with his scenario. For those that didn't listen to the last episode, it's a dungeon adventure scenario where you can start off by controlling one character and you get to decide, is he a fighter type, is he a mage type, is he a rogue type. And then you take that character out into the world to explore, just like in Civilization IV, except in Civilization IV where you have your mountains and forests, Lutefisk has filled the world with dungeons and places of interest and events and quests that take place. So when you come across a dungeon, rather than just clicking on an event to explore the dungeon and see what happens, he actually allows you to go into that dungeon, so the entire map changes. You're no longer on the world map, you're on a randomized dungeon map, and that dungeon is full of monsters and treasure that you can find and level up and rescue other heroes to join your party. It's an amazing technical marvel. He solved the dual map problem. There's multiple maps, randomized maps you can go in and out of as you're building your character, as well as just being fun to play. It's basically a turn-based role-playing game, and it's really cool as a Fall from Heaven scenario, but I hope he even takes it even further and makes it into a game in its own right. I think there's a lot of potential there, and it was a lot of fun to play as part of the scenario contest. So congratulations to Lutefisk Mafia. I was really glad to hear that you guys were interviewing him. It was a great show to listen to, as always. So thank you very much. Bye.
Awesome. Congratulations.
Woohoo! Yes.
Good for loot.
Ooh.
Oh, sound effects. Excellent. Excellent, Tony.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
I'm going to demand more of those sound effects in the future, just so you know.
You've set a standard now, Tony. We're going to expect you to keep that up.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't know how to play them in...
Expectations!
But anyways, wow. Wow, Kale. Thanks for the props, Kale. We're out here in the podcast. We aim to please, especially John, for a small sum of money.
And congrats to Lutefisk Mafia. That's really awesome to hear that he won.
Woohoo! And without further ado, we're going to get going. Today we have been joined with Wouter Lacutus Snyders.
Bye, Mike.
Kenneth Impaler WRG Ferland.
Feel the power of Modcast.
John BTOS Archer.
Bye bye, everyone.
And me, Tony Garrett Sinzaki Keel. Goodbye. And we will see you in 2 weeks. Bye.
Bye. Oh, by the way, we dub this the Mod Bump. It's like the Colbert Bump, but it's the Modcast Bump. When you get featured on Modcast, you win.
That's the episode. I'll put that down right here. So everyone say goodbye. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Sorry, you may have to cut out a word or two there.
You know what? I can get through this. If I can get through John's the way he can't barely talk at all, I can get through editing this show.
Now,
Wouter, you talk much more clearly than most Americans I get on the show, so... John, I can't understand a single goddamn thing you're saying.
That's not because he doesn't clearly, it's just that you don't speak any accents. That's just called Australian.
Because he speaks Australianese.
Oh, what I told you, I wouldn't have been anybody down there. I just want to come and come and call me. Oh!
And you people claim to speak English, you know?
Record date.
April 19th, 2009.
Civilization 4, Warlords Beyond the Sword sound clips, copyright, Take 2 Interactive. Copyright 2009 Civilized Communications at civcom.net.